Was
okay. So we're gonna be starting from still in like the first line, so to speak. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So I just wanted to make one last general point on that. But before I start, I want to correct something that I just misspoke last week when I was saying anyone who was there will understand it, and anyone who won't. Don't worry about it too much, but Shammai pointed out that I accidentally said something backwards, and I just wanted to correct that when we were talking about the two levels, the level of the awareness or the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu versus the level of the understanding of the Avos, and Moshe Rabbeinu had this higher level of understanding, which is kind of seeing Hashem, so to speak, directly in a clearer way, as opposed to the Avos. It was a perception of, you know, God as he's manifest in this world, but they still kind of dealt with a reality of this world, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu understood Einod Milvado, that really there is no existence other than God. We spoke about that last week. I just misspoke one thing, which was that I accidentally just said it backwards. I said that we say the first line of Shema quietly and the Baruch Shem Kavod out loud, and what I said really totally didn't make sense because I said it backwards, but that we said that the first line of Shema, which is Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad, which is a declaration that that Hashem is absolutely one, and not just one and not two, but he is the only one, and there is nothing else other than him, which was the Madrega of Shema of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that we say out loud, because that's the reality of, that's, you know, the real Madriga of existence is Einod Milvado. If we would be able to appreciate it, we would realize that, you know, the only real existence is God's existence, as opposed to Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed is said in a whisper, because that's the acknowledgement of God's existence within the world. That's the Arkenu, in our, on our own level, from a perspective of our own autonomous existence, acknowledging God's total control and mastery and manifestation in the world. That said quietly, because that's really, you know, within, to use the words, you know, a fake construct of an Olam Hazeh, where there's an existence which appears to be separate from God. That's said b'chashai, that's said quietly, because it doesn't have that same reality as the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay, I just wanted to correct that one point. So, just to finish up one last point on the discussion of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So, the line Elokei Avoseicha, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So it comes from a pasuk based off of a pasuk in Shmos, Perek Gimel, pasuk Tesvav 3:15. That Hashem tells Moshe, when he tells them, Moshe, how he should, you know, introduce Hashem to the Jewish people, when he comes and says, you know, God's redeeming you, and they say, who sent you? And you should say, Ko somar el b'nei Yisrael, that this is what you should say to the Jewish people, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Shalachani Aleichem, that the God of your forefathers, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, sent me to you. Moshe tells Klal Yisrael that the reason he is being sent to redeem the Jewish people is because of the relationship that Hashem had with the Avos. That he's being given as, you know, if you want to know why I'm being sent, what is the nature of my shlichus, what is the nature of my being sent, is that the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is the Mishaleach, is the one who sent me. So, just a small kind of finishing idea on this line, that the Avos are our spiritual heritage, that our spiritual DNA, the potential that we have for greatness, is because of their accomplishments. And our relationship with Hashem is because of that potential. When we do this major name-dropping at the beginning of Shemona Esrei, it's not some kind of attempt to use divine protectia and, you know, say, by the way, God, you know, I've got the people in high places, the you know, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're not dropping names because we're trying to, you know, to use connections, but rather that we are, so to speak, invoking and mentioning how great we could be and the potential that we have. And there's a discussion among this about this among a lot of different Jewish thinkers, but Rav Dessler develops this idea that really the idea of schos avos is, you know, the idea that Hashem has rachamim on us because of schos avos. You know, if you think about it, it's a little bit counterintuitive. If you have some fellow who grew up in, you know, his father was a crack addict, and or his mother was a crack addict, and his father was gone, and no one ever told him that it's wrong to, you know, beat up old ladies and take their purses, and he beats up an old lady and takes her purse, so, you know, seemingly it's a rachmana, okay, it's hard to say he doesn't know better, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, who are his role models? As opposed to, you have someone who comes from a distinguished family, and they come and they, you know, do some kind of heinous crime, that you know, you had higher expectations of you. So why should there be this thing of schos avos that gives us, you know, merit? It should be the opposite. Schos avos should give us obligations, it should give us higher standards, and we should be, you know, punished more because, you know, you didn't live up to the standards that should have been set for you. So Rav Dessler explains that the idea of schos avos is true, that there are higher expectations of us, and we do have, you know, an idea that Hashem is medakdek with Klal Yisrael in a way that he's not necessarily so exacting with other nations. But at the same time, the fact that we come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that our spiritual capacity is established through that heritage, so Hashem also recognizes the great future that we could have, and therefore the Schos Avos is a recognition of the heights that we could rise to, because we are the Hemshech, we're the continuation of a relationship that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a recognition of our own potential to reach that greatness.
So it's for Hashem, or meaning it's that we're showing Hashem that we realize, or it's for just ourselves to motivate ourselves, or some sort of combination.
I think it is for ourselves. The whole first three brachos, the whole Shemona Esrei really discussed in a certain sense is talking to ourselves, but particularly the first three brachos, which are the shevach that we are saying to remind ourselves of, you know, before we, so to speak, put ourselves out in front of Hashem, to remind us, you know, exactly who it is that we're standing in front of. So we say the shevach to remind ourselves. So part, I guess, you know, it's kind of fleshing out for ourselves what the relationship is that we have with Hashem. Fine. So the next line of tefillah, the next little group lit, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Hanora. So just before getting into any individual ideas here of what all these words mean, so the Gemara really addresses this question, but we'll enter through the Maharal. The Maharal in the beginning of Gevuros Hashem, the very beginning of chapter 1 of Gevuros Hashem. So he's really asking a question there. This question is not really of interest to us in our discussion here, but the Maharal says, quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, "Mi yamalel Gevuros Hashem yashmiya kol tehilaso." The way the Maharal understands the pasuk, like other mefarshim, that the word mi is really being distributed. So it's mi amal al gruos Hashem and mi yashmiya kol tehilaso. That who can communicate all of the gvuros of Hashem, the strength of the powerful, the mighty acts of Hashem, and who can make heard all of Hashem's praises. So the Maharal says there's two points being made in the pasuk. That there's Yemalel Gevuros Hashem, and there's Yashmiya Kol Tehilaso. And there's two aspects of Hashem's Shevach that are rhetorically being challenged here, that, you know, as being, you know, impossible. Who could possibly do these two things? There's two aspects of Shevach that are being highlighted here. One is, the first is, that intrinsically, qualitatively, the Gevuros of Hashem are incredible to the point that they cannot properly be appreciated by us mere finite mortals. We can't adequately fathom how truly amazing Hashem's actions are, that from a very limited perspective and, you know, depth of any one act that Hashem does, we have a very limited snapshot perspective of it, both in terms of just, you know, the context, and but it just in terms of all of the ramifications, everything that the true gvura, the true godless of any act that Hashem does, we are incapable of appreciating how great it really was. So that's me, Yemalel, who can say the words. Milel literally means to speak. Who can speak that Gvura? And the Maharal says that the word Milel refers to the communication of something which is surprising or unbelievable, like we find that it says Mi Milel Lavram Hayanika Banam Sarah, that who could say to Avraham that Sarah would nurse children, because Sarah, it was unbelievable. It was, you know, who could possibly, you know, make Avraham come to terms with that fact. It was so incredible. So the idea of Milel, it's something that's difficult to communicate because it's difficult to imagine such a thing could be. And that's why Mi Yemalel, who could even say the words? Like it's just so incredible and unbelievable that there aren't even words to describe. You're not even capable of saying the words. That's the first level, is that Mitzad from the perspective, from the angle of just the innate, intrinsic incredibleness of Hashem's actions, that they're unable to be communicated. The second one is quantitatively, due to the sheer number and endlessness of Hashem's gvuros, that they're impossible to communicate. Just like, you know, a person can never count to infinity, because, you know, you'll never run out of numbers to count, and you'll just keep going, and you never get to the end. So that from the sheer endlessness of the gvuros of Hashem, they're impossible to communicate. And therefore the pasuk is Yashmia, to make something heard. So, you know, there's nothing to tell you something that's, you know, it's not so hard. It can make sure you hear. But Yashmia kol tehiloso, that's to communicate all of his tehilos, to make heard all of his praises. That's the second aspect, is that from the perspective of merely just listing them, let's forget that, okay, so we won't appreciate them fully, but at least just, you know, to go through the list. So, no, it's impossible to adequately convey the Hashem's praises just from the perspective of their magnitude. And similarly, says the Maharal, he's quoting the Rambam Mor Nevochim, says that the Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, says, Hahu denachas kamei d'Rabbi Chanina, there was some Talmud who went down to Davin. They went down because, you see, there are old shuls that still have this, and the Aguda in Baltimore also has this, that the place where the Shliach Tzibor stands is actually lower than the rest of the room, because the pasuk says Mi Ma'am Akim Karasich Hashem. So it's called Nachis. You went down to Davin, so we asked someone to go up to Davin, but the Gemara refers to going down to Davin. But in any case, so there's this Talmud who went down to Davin, which means he went to be the Shliach Tzibor in front of Rabbi Chanina. Amar, and he said, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Vanora, God who is great and strong and awesome, Ha'adir Vahamitz, the mighty and the intense, Vahaizos and the forceful, Vahamiti and the true, Vahayiroi and the fearful, fearsome, and he went on with a few more things, and he kept going. So he finished. And Rabbi Chanina, you know, the guy's thinking, you know, he just did an impressive job, one better than Shimon Esrei that we have. Amar Le, so Rabbi Chanina went over to him and he said, Siyam Tinhu Lekulei Shivcha Demarich. He said, you finished, you got the whole list, that was the exhaustive list of all of Hashem's praises. Hashta Hanhu Shlosha, so the three that we have, Ilav Damrinu Moshe Bo Raisa, if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said them in the Torah. The Anshe Knesset Gedola Takninhu B'Tfila, and the Anshe Knesset Gedola were Koveya them, set them up as to be part of Tfila. Lo Havi Amrinin Lu, we wouldn't even say those. The At Amart Vazalt Kulehai, and you're going on for so long. Mashal Lamad Avradoma, I'll give you a mashal for what this is like. Lamelech Basar Vadam, this would be like a human king, Shahaya Lo Elef Alfe Elofim Dinari Zahav, who had billions of golden coins, of golden dinarim, Vahayu Mekalsin Oso Bishal Kethef. And they praised him that he had some silver coins. Halo Gnaihulo, that's not a praise, you know, if you, from a kind of, you know, in a vacuum, silver coins, having silver coins might, you know, be some, you know, wealth and that. But in context of, you know, that you're so totally missing what's actually there, so inadequately describing what's actually there, Gnaihulo, it's an insult. So the Rambam explains what's this mashal? Why? How? What exactly is the mashal attempting to communicate about the problem with his tefillah? So says the Moreh Nevuchim that the mashal is really split 2 points. First of all, it's that he has gold and you're being mishabeach with silver, and that he has millions and you're just saying he has some. So in the same point, both in echus, in quality, it's gold and you're talking about silver, and in kamas, he has billions and you're just talking about the fact that he has, and not, you know, that it's, you know, a totally inadequate expression of the quantity. So it's from those two perspectives he was telling him that you can't adequately articulate or express Hashem's praise, and therefore to go up and start listing off more praises, if we would say nothing, because we know if we start, what gives you a right to stop? Hashem's praises are endless, and you don't really appreciate what you're saying anyways, because when you say that Hashem is amiti, you don't really know what that means, because you can't appreciate the depth of Hashem's amitius. And therefore, if we didn't have already, you know, set for us the model that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, we wouldn't say anything. So you're going on and saying all these things. You're lacking an understanding of, or you're displaying. It's an insult to Hashem because it conveys, because we're unable to properly convey the shvachos of Hashem, the Hashem's praises. So it conveys a lack of both qualitative and quantitative appreciation of the shavach of Hashem, and therefore that specifically these three praises which we say. Just to give the background, the Maharal then goes on to ask, it's at the very beginning of Gevuras Hashem, his commentary on basically Pesach and Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he goes on to ask, he says basically that therefore the whole Seder night makes no sense, because the whole Seder night is we're going on to Kol Hamar Beharayzim Meshubach, you go on as much as you can and as much as you can tell about all the great things that Hashem did in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the more the merrier. And says the Maharal, what do you mean that we have this paradigm here that we can't really appreciate what Hashem does, and therefore, you know, the whole avod of the Seder night seems to be somewhat doomed to failure. So not our point, but the Maharal basically answers that that's true when it comes to Shevach, when it comes to Hakaras HaTov, that there's a whole different perspective, which is that even if I'm incapable of expressing it, I have an obligation to be Makir Tov. I have a personal imperative to show that I'm not an ingrate. And therefore, even if I will be acknowledgedly incapable of fully fulfilling my duty to do so, I still have to do my best in order to just show that I appreciate that I got something. And says the Maharal, really the whole avoda of the Haggadah is an expression of Hakaras HaTov, that the reason we go through the Haggadah is to show that we understand that God did something for us, and therefore we appreciate, you know, we have, you know, in times of, you know, when they had Eretz Yisrael with the, but in the fact that we have Cheiros, we appreciate that it's, you know, we appreciate the context from which that came, and we appreciate, you know, how great it was what Hashem did for us. But for our purposes, so the Gemara and the Maharal are really bringing out this idea that this Shevach that we say, we have to understand that we're not saying this because, you know, it's some complete expression of, you know, what encapsulates and sums up the Shevach of Hashem, but rather because since Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a model, so we have the right to say we're just copying that, which is seemingly the point of why the Gemara says two things, why Rabbi Chanina says two things. He says first of all that Moshe Rabbeinu said it, and second of all that the Chachamim were Kovei and Shmona Esrei. Once the Chachamim were Koveya in Shmona Esrei, so now we're saying it because we're copying Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're just copying Moshe. We're not saying this is our own expression and our own, ad hoc list of, you know, what's great about Hashem. But this is the list, the model that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and there, it's a very concise and directed list, because we understand that doing anything more than that is really beyond our capacity. So why do we have these three? So a question that we're not going to answer directly, but just we're going to try to demonstrate how these three things, Gadol, Gibor, and Nora, really are inclusive or correspond to a framework which covers a much broader structure. And hopefully, if not completely tonight, I hope we'll get to it tonight. We'll see. Fine. So, as a first point, so the Vilna Gaon explains that the name of Hashem, the name Kael, Aleph Lamed, is said on Ein Sof below Tzimtzum. It's talking about the Hashem's existence before there was Tzimtzum, which for now we'll just call the hiding of Hashem's true essence in order that we could experience our own existence. We'll talk about Tzimtzum at length maybe some other time, but that, you know, it's Hashem's, so just to use the words, Hashem's essence, which is above our comprehension. And the word, the name Kael, we find, you know, often associated in Shemoneh Esrei. We'll see in next week that the Kael Elyon and Chumash, it's all often Kael Elyon, that Elyon means, you know, supernal and the highest, right? That it's in a certain level, like the highest nature of reference to Hashem. It's important to know that the Gra himself says this in the Safra Ditznusa, that even when we talk about Hashem being Ein Sof and below Tzimtzum, even that is talking about a level which is non-descriptive of Hashem, of, you know, the reality of Hashem's existence. We have no words and no way to even think about it. That's like, you know, heart and center, yeah, that's front and center of what Chazal are talking about when they say Bilamalim and Chal Tidrosh, that don't attempt to investigate or to figure out those things which are beyond you. That when it comes to Hashem, not even like words we can use to describe what it is that we can't describe. So, you know, we'll you try and use words. As soon as we're talking about something that we have words to describe, we're already talking about something which isn't the actual it. So if that made sense to anyone, it's hard to use because by the nature of the discussion, trying to talk about something that we don't have words to talk about, and we can only talk about how we can't talk about it, so it becomes somewhat of a limited ability to articulate. But when we talk about, even when we talk about something like Ein Sof, so says the Gra, that what, even when we describe Hashem as Ein Sof, which means endless, even that is just, you know, a description mitzidenu from our perspective, that Hashem's Shlemus and infiniteness and everything, whatever it is beyond even, you know, our conceptions of the ideas that these words can invoke. But in any case, says the Gra, that Kael is said about the Ein Sof below Tzimtzum, this the nature of Hashem's existence, without any, before any level of an other and a room for our comprehension. Gadol, Gibor, and Nora, on the other hand, we'll see, we'll talk about the all the different ideas that they correspond to. Both are they correspond to a few different things, which let's, for now, we'll just leave it with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That Gadol is Avraham, Gibor is Yitzchak, and Nora is Yaakov, and we'll talk about why these things are and what these things are shortly. But that we have that the Kael, HaKael, HaGadol, Gibor, Vanora. And the idea being that, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kael, he's, you know, the, right, you know, up there beyond us, beyond our comprehension, the Ein Sof, but that's expressed and related to through the Midos of Hashem that we have our access way to through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That the Avos, we've mentioned this idea before, the Avos are the Merkava, Lashchina, they are the vehicle for the expression of Hashem's presence in this world, and therefore there's our window, our opening access point to appreciate, to understand, or not to understand, to have some relationship, to have some mode of relationship with that existence is through that aspect or those aspects which were revealed by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So I want to get back to exactly what, you know, Gadol, Gibor, and Nora, what, you know, facets they're expressing. But before we do that, so just want to discuss probably the most fundamental Gemara about this Gadol, Gibor, and Nora. The Gemara in Yuma Samech Teslam in Bay 69b, the Gemara is explaining why the Anshei Knesset Gedola were called the Anshei Knesset Gedola. Where did they get that name from? And the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu referred to Hashem as Hagadol HaGibor V'Hanora, Dvarim Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Zayin. And the Moshe Rabbeinu said Hagadol HaGibor V'Hanora. Came along Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu lived in through the Churban, and the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdash, and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and they defiled it and destroyed it. And Yirmiyah, when he described Hashem, he left out Norah. Yirmiyah said, HaGadol V'HaGibor, and he left out Norah. He said, Aye Norah Osav, where is Hashem's awesomeness? I don't see it. Daniel came along, and Daniel lived in a time while Klal Yisrael were in Galus, and they were subjugated to servitude of the nations. And Daniel removed Gibor because he said, "Aye Gvuroso, where's Hashem's strength? This nation is being ruled over in Galus, not on their land by another nation." So he removed Gvura. And came the Anshei Knesset Gedola, and they reinstated the kavod of Hashem. They reinstated these titles with this line of Shemona Esrei of, they said, no, we should say, HaGadol HaGibor V'HaNora, because Zuhi Gvurasov Elu Hein Nora Osav. That itself was an expression of his Gvura, and that itself was an expression of his Noraos. So, meaning, what does that mean? That the Gvura, we'll talk about this more, that the idea of Gvura is that it's a certain, it's self-restraint. It's the fact that Hashem is Erech Apayim, that He's patient with those who are evil, and He lets evil take place, and He allows evil to go on in the world, and gives room. You know, there's only room for meaningful existence where you make real choices. If you have the if there's a real ability to do good and bad, and Hashem is His gevura is that He allows evil to go on, even though it's against His, so to speak, against His own ratzon. He's, so to speak, Kovesh as Yitzro. Hashem withholds from punishing the evil, even though they're going against His ratzon. That itself is His gvura. And allowing another nation to rule over Klal Yisrael, that itself is an expression of Hashem's gvura. And Nora is that they're Uma Achas Beina Umos, that they're one nation, one lamb amongst 70 wolves, that Hashem sustains Klal Yisrael amidst the nations, that they're, you know, this one, you know, small, defenseless people who continue to exist among the nations, and He sustains them against all odds, that they're a sheep among the wolves, that itself is an example, an expression of Hashem's Noraos, of the awesomeness of Hashem. So, is there a machlokus here going on between the Anshei Knesset Gedola versus the Nevi'im? There happen to have been three Nevi'im in the Anshei Knesset Gedola, but is this a difference of opinion? Yirmiyah and Daniel thought that there isn't Hashem's Noraos and Gvura, and it shouldn't be mentioned, and the Anshei Knesset Gedola argued with them. So what exactly, why did they remove it and they added it back in? So the Maharsha on the Gemara there, this is a wonderful idea, the Maharsha says, it's not an argument, said that that the Anshei Knesset Gedola were the Beis Din of Ezra and Nehemiah, and included the generation that lived through Purim and through the whole story of Mordechai and Haman. And when the Jewish people, when the Anshei Knesset Gedola, the Jewish people who were alive at that time, saw the chesed which was done for the Jewish people through Mordechai in saving them from Haman, they saw the Yeshua, they saw the salvation that took place at that time, and they saw the incredible kindness that Hashem had for His people, and that He hadn't abandoned them, and He does nisim for them, and He takes care of them, that even in Galus, and even within what looked like such a dire situation, that Hashem was there and taking care of them, that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, through the lens of that chesed that they saw, were able to see the Gvura and the Nora from that perspective, and were able therefore to say that no, that is the Gvura of Hashem, that is the Noraos of Hashem. Hashem is still there, and Hashem is actively, it's an act of Gvura that he's allowing Klal Yisrael to stay in Galus, and it's an act of Noraos that He's sustaining Klal Yisrael while they're in Galus. So, this is from Rabbi Zev Lef, that he writes that once the miracle of Purim took place and they saw the unlimited chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, that with this perspective of Hashem's goodness, they could see the exile, they could see the galus in that light. And the gvura they could see was in order to ultimately bring the geula, and the nora that was that he was still sustaining them in galus. And that's why, seemingly it's a funny thing, the Gemara asks, why are they called the Anshei Knesses HaGedola? Because they had called Hashem Gibor and Nora. The one thing they didn't reinstate was Gadol. Right? That was the one thing that was still left in place. Yirmiah and Daniel still called Hashem Gadol. So why are you calling them Anshei Knesses HaGedola if that's the only thing that was still intact that they didn't need to reinstate? So says Rabbi Leff that, no, this is why they're called the Anshei Knesses HaGedola, because it was the perception, the lenses of Chesed of Hashem Gadol. We'll talk about that. So we say Gadol Zumidas Tuvcha. That the Chesed of Hashem is referred to Hashem's Gedula, and it was through the lenses of the Chesed of Hashem which enabled them to see the Gvura and the Nora, the Gibor and the Nora, with the correct perspective. And therefore, it was specifically because they were the Dar which had this experience of Hashem's Gedula, and were able to see through the perspective of Hashem, through the lens of Hashem's Gedula, could appreciate that the Gibor, that the Gvura was Gvura, and that the Noros was Nora. And therefore, they were able to call Hashem truly to see how it was Gvura and Noros, that Hashem was keeping Klal Yisrael in Galus and protecting them while they were in Galus. All right, one last idea, at the risk of going overtime. So, there are several different lists of what these different terms, Gadol, Gibor, and Nora, correspond to, and it should try and put things into one picture here. There's Chazal in one place Chazal say Gadol. Rashi brings it. That Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hachelosa laharos la'avdecha as godlecha," that you begin to show me, your servant, your godless. And Chazal say, "Zu midas tuvcha," that's referring to Hashem's midah of hatava and of chesed. And that gibor, like we saw in the Gemara that we just quoted, but also the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, "Ezehu gibor hakovish es yitzro." And Nora, that Hashem's Nora is that he protects Klal Yisrael while they are among the nations. There's another list from Chazal. The Yavitz puts this together. It's really somewhat mixing and matching a couple of different Chazals, but there's one Chazal which says that Gadol refers to Hashem in Briyas Olam, in the creation of the world, and Gibor refers to Hashem by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Nora refers to Hashem by Kriyas Yamsuf, the involvement of Hashem by Kriyas Yamsuf. And then there's a third list, which there are many different sources which bring this down, and there you find references to this in Chazal, but that Gadol is a reference to Avraham, Gibor is a reference to Yitzchak, and Nora is a reference to Yaakov. You know, the Yavitz says this, and there are Rishonim who don't speak it out all in one sentence as clearly as the Yavitz does, but that the Gadol is Avraham, Gibor is Yitzchak, and Nora is Yaakov. So we have these three different lists. We have Midas Tovcha, that the Hashem's kindness, and that he's Kovesh as Yitzro, and that he protects us among the nations. And we have that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we have Briyas Olam, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf. So to try and put these all into just one vein here, how these are all very interconnected ideas. So Gadol is Hashem's midah of Chesed, which is the midah of Avram. You know, Avram was the emblem of Chesed. That was the midah tuvcha. That the midah of Avram was the midah of being mischased, and it had the tent, which was open on four sides. And that's, you know, reference to Hashem's Chesed, which is Hashem's, so to speak, good nature. And that is, as we mentioned before, is the ultimate source and purpose of creating the world. Olam Chesed Yibane. That Chesed is the starting point, is the motivation of creating the world. Briyas Olam is a result of Hashem's Midas HaChesed. And then we have the Gibor. Gibor is Gvura, is Yitzchak, who was the semel of Gvura, is self-restraint, and it's holding, and that restraint is holding Chesed back from those who are undeserving. And Yetzias Mitzrayim was that. Yetzias Mitzrayim was where Hashem separated between Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makos was all Veheflesi Beiniu Beinamcha, that that Hashem differentiated in the that they punished the Mitzrayim while saving the Jews. And in all of the Nisim, there's a particular theme that you see in the Makos in the Pesukim themselves. But in all of the Makos, you have this, you know, that starting from the very beginning, that by the Makah of Dam, that a Jew and a non-Jew, a Jew and a Mitzri, would drink from the same cup, and for the Jew it was water, and for the Mitzri it was blood, and all of the, you see this idea of the Heflesi, of the distinguishing of making the separation, the distinction between those who deserved the chesed and those who didn't, those who were meant to be the recipients of the chesed and those who weren't. And that's Yetzias Mitzrayim is an example of the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of holding back chesed from those who don't deserve it. And then the last one, which is that Hashem is Nora. Nora is the we'll talk about this a long time from now when we get to the third bracha of Shemona Esrei about the midah of Nora and what the idea of something being awesome means. But for now, just take my word for it. The idea of Nora and the idea of the midah of Emes, which is the idea of things which are all coming together. Just, you know, the word Emes itself is composed of the first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter of the Aleph Beis. It's a somewhat of a harmonizing of all different elements. But that the meat of Yaakov was the meat of Emes Titein Emes LeYaakov, and that's the overcoming and the subjugation of nature. It's that the fact that Hashem is above the normal order of things, that's the midah of Nora, and that's the Hashem protects us among a lamb among 70 wolves. That it's going above the normal order of things. For, you know, they say that one of the wonders of the world is the survival of the Jewish people. That was the famous the famous point that the Panovitcher Rav always used to bring out, was that, you know, every culture which subjugated the Jewish people doesn't exist anymore, because the normal nature of cultures is you're around for a while, you rise and you fall and you're gone. But the Jewish people, somehow in exile without a land, have remained in existence. The continued ongoing existence of the Jewish people, it's counter to the normal order of how you know, anthropology functions. So the noros of Hashem, that going above the normal order of things. And Kriyas Yamsuf was that. It was the Besoch Hayam Bayabasha. It was that they were in the water while they're on the dry land. It was all of the Nisim that were that the Klal Yisrael passing through the Yamsuf. It's the Yam crashing on the and drowning the Mitzrim at this. Ibn Ezra points this out. However he arrives at this point, but that the Yam is crashing on the Mitzrim while it's opening for the Jews. It's the two opposites going on at the same time, and it's the seeing everything in perspective and seeing how the bad is for the Tzorich of the good. That's the perspective of Emes, is seeing how everything is really all one big picture, and that it's a certain Shlemus which rises above just the snapshot of the narrow perspective of Teva and nature. And Hashem taking care of us in Galus is that same running counter to the nature of how the world works, is the same, that same midah of Nora, the midah of Emes, and that's this, that the expressed through Kriyas Yamsuf is that also expressed through Hashem taking care of us while we're in Galus. So these three separate, you know, structures of idea, really the same idea, that it's the Hashem's that first we're expressing Hashem's chesed, and Hashem's chesed is the source of everything, and that's we have expressed through Briyas Olam, that's the source of everything, and that's through Avram Avinu, and Hashem's gvura, which is the fact that Hashem allows evil to go on, and he so to speak holds himself back, and he limits things and sets that, you know, things are only where they should be, and that the same gvura of differentiating between the Jews and the non-Jews, that he's making sure that things are that the chesed only goes where it's supposed to go, and it's limited, it's held back from those who don't deserve it, and that's with the midah of Yitzchak of gvura, and then Yaakov, the midah of emes of noros, is that Hashem protects us among the nations, and that's expressed through Kriyas Yamsof, in that expression of something which is rising above and beyond the limitations of the normal order of how things work. All right, we'll pause here for tonight.